praktyczna wiedza, specjaliści z doświadczeniem. To wszystko i wiele więcej w podcast Praktyczna Strona Treningu. Zapraszam, Artur Mor.
Hello, welcome in special episode from Houston in Texas. Today with me and Tomasz in front of the microphone is former director of conditioning for the Chicago White Sox and director of athletic development for the New York Mets, expert in training industry, author of books and articles, director of Gambetta Sports Training System and founder of Gambetta Athletic Improvement Network, GAIN. Ladies and gentlemen, with us on Rice University, Vern Gambetta himself. Hello, Vern.
Hello. Thank you. I'm honored to be on the program with you. It's great to have you guys here.
First of all, thank you very much for taking your time from that busy schedules and you're willing to share some of your ideas and philosophies. We have a few questions which we would like to share with Polish Strength and Conditioning Association and conditioning communities. So first of all, when was the GAIN born and what was the motive of the whole conference?
Oh yeah, 15 years ago. But I had been thinking about it, you know, for years, because early in my career, I looked very much to Europe. And then in those days, the Eastern Bloc countries and the Western Bloc countries. And in England, at Loughborough University, they used to do a Loughborough summer school. And I always wanted to go when I was an athletics coach. And it was 6 days intensive. And I thought, jeepers, if someday we could do this. And then I taught a workshop for many years, 2 days, called Building and Rebuilding the Complete Athlete. And we used to say 8 hours a day. And we used to say, geez, wouldn't this be really neat if we could do it for 5 days? So finally, 15 years ago, we did. And the idea is to have a professional development network for coaches, for physios, for doctors, chiropractors, you know, everybody involved, physical educators, to be able to come together and learn and share. The sharing leads to the learning, doesn't it? So that was the motivation. And I have to say, it's exceeded my expectations in some regards. This has been, as I was saying to you before we went live, you don't have a frame of reference, but I do. It's really been the best one because there's been more sharing. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Vern. In private conversation, you told us that you've been inspired by a few Polish names from the past. For me, it means that we have longer strength and conditioning tradition than the most of young Polish coaches think. Vern, can you mention about it again?
Well, that's what's amazing to me, how the younger coaches, Polish coaches, and there was an athletics coach that was working with a young man a few years ago in Scotland, and I started mentioning names. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Tadeusz Starzynski, who was Joseph Smith's coach, which to me, there should be a statue somewhere in Poland. 56, 60, 64 gold medals in a triple jump. And I got a chance to go to this program in 72 where Starzynski was in the U.S. They had a translator and it changed my whole mindset. Here's a great jumper and I never saw him lift anything heavier than 50% of body weight. And then a year later, I got Gerard Mock, who was Polish and came to Canada as their national sprint coach and eventually their national coach. Well, I trained with a bunch of Canadians. And then about 4 years later, I went to a 2-day workshop that he did. And then later we were in a training camp. And both of those people, and I know she's an icon in pros and arena, it was Kurzenstein and then Shavenska. And I tried to find out because that lady was an impressive athlete. So I wanted to find, and that's also Gerard Mock had an influence on her, but you know, she won medals in the long jump, won two, and eventually the 400. And you always look at, and then there was a great Hurt, Grozny-Ropstein, I think is how you say it. And again, looking at her training, and I go, this is where the rhythm and the tempo ideas come. So you have such a rich, and then volleyball. Because I'd always peripherally done something with volleyball, both indoors first and then beach of late. And your country has such a rich tradition in power and jumping and, you know, and that. And I'd run into different Polish coaches and pole vault. I can't remember the famous pole vault coach who coached Kozakiewicz, right? Kozakiewicz came to the States. I can't speak Polish, but I probe by pronunciation. So it was very, very interesting because it was very different than the Western approach was get as strong as you can in the weight room and hope it transfers. Yeah. And they were It was just had a huge influence on my career. So yes, long answer, but yes, I'm very thankful. Very thankful.
That's great. So we talk a little bit about the past. We would also like to tell you and you actually tell us what you think. At the moment, we have big community in Poland, which does a lot with load monitoring. So during your presentation, you very smoothly move over that slide. So we would like to ask you in short version, what do you think about that? How can that influence the training? Why do you think maybe is useful? Why maybe is not as important as we all think? All the objective data.
Yeah, not so much load monitoring, but what comes out of it, load management and trying to end. It's been used very negatively. I'm 75 years old. I've been coaching for 54 years, and there's many things 50 years ago I dreamed about. And sometimes dreams turn into nightmares, and now we can measure everything. You tell me, we can go to an engineer or sports scientist, they can come up with a measure. I say, and I don't know how this will translate, is a measurement meaningful? And I know I've never been around a great athlete. You saw the film of the young lady that won the silver medal. The emphasis always, what can you do? What can you do? Load management, as it's evolved, has become very negative. What can't you do? It's become very restrictive. And what we're doing, because we're trying to keep the athlete healthy by restricting workload, we're actually increasing injuries. Because there's a certain level or threshold you have to train to be resilient and injury resistant. It's not just my opinion. Franco Imperazzieri, now in Australia, along with Aaron Coots and others, have been very, very critical of some of the research literature. It's very questionable. And again, who writes the algorithms? So I always say, be an informed skeptic. I believe, and I've had the opportunity to interact with some great sports scientists, but I also know that every great athlete I've been around, load management was never a factor. We just carefully planned the training, monitored the training. So I hope that makes sense.
Yesterday, during this lecture, do's and don'ts in training, used the sentence, be inspired by science, not driven by it.
Right, be informed by science and not driven by it. And I like to think that, I mean, in my bag here, I have 7 scientific studies. I try to read, well, I don't say always once a day, but I try to read 3 current sports science or something related to sports science every week, current literature, and or speak to somebody. And I can point to various points in my career where literally either a research study or being able to participate has really changed what I'm doing. But I think it's more to be informed. I'm not going to let it drive me, because if you look carefully at a lot of the studies, they're short-term, they're not high-level athletes. So I really like to look more at longitudinal training, which was very prevalent in the European coaching literature, you know, for a long time before the wall came down and we were able to get a lot of stuff in translation. So here's 4 years of somebody's training and then the important thing, the reason why.
I have last question. Give us top 3 tips, advices of how to be a better coach and pathways for personal development for coaches.
First of all, find a mentor, somebody who has gray hair or no hair.
It's about me. and you, Tomasz.
Who's done it and is willing to share both success and failures. Okay, not just somebody who's an internet guru or something like that. The beauty of being in Europe and where you are, in essence, you're a 2-hour train ride away from a lot of really good people, I think, in my estimation. So that's one thing. Observe every time you can, go observe good coaches coach. Go observe good coaches coach multiple sports, no matter what your specialized sport is. You know, go outside your sport and sometimes go way outside your sport. If you're a sprint coach, go off and look at cross-country skiing. Go off and look at different things, and you're going to pick up little insights. And then the third one is establish your own network. That's what GAIN is about. Now you have people that you can contact. I'm just trying to get on the phone with Dean Benton, who's worked with Elise Perry, who's here, to share with him what I've seen of Elise this week, because I've never seen her in person. So I think those are, for me, and that's what I've always tried to do in my career. And maybe fourthly is be humble. This has been almost embarrassing for me, some of the things that people are saying. It, look at how many years, well, I've had other great athletes, but this girl, Emma Wyatt, she's really special, but she's the product of 50 years of learning, you know. That didn't happen overnight, so anyway.
Vern, we just stole 15 minutes of your time. Thank you very much for it.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. For me, mission accomplished.
All right.
I just did interview with you.
Okay.
And I'm very happy. Thank you for your time and see you on the next edition of GAIN, hopefully.
Okay, yes. And please stay in touch. I mean, I sincerely am very grateful for the things that I've learned from the great Polish athletes and coaches that I know of and been able to interact with. So, and you guys carry on that tradition. That's great.
That's great. Thank you.